welcome aboard the battleship Pretension. I'm Tyler Smith.
I'm David Bax.
And thank you for listening. David.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm super excited. Well, I'm always excited to be able to do an episode with you, which has been a rare occurrence over these last...
10 months.
Good Lord.
Yep.
By the time this posts, closer to 11 months, right?
Yeah.
It'll be July when this posts.
Yeah, that's
true.
So
it'll be just over 10 months.
Yeah.
So I'm always excited to be able to do an episode with you, but I'm also always very excited whenever we reach a 50 week milestone.
Why is that?
Well, I will tell you, but I'll tell you in a minute, because first I want to tell you about TweakedAudio.com. TweakedAudio.com is where you go for professional quality earbuds in a variety of stylish styles and colorful colors. They look great. They sound great. I use them each and every day. Tyler hopes to get back to using them each and every day, any day now. Today I was listening to the German free jazz pioneer Peter Brotzmann, who died just about a week ago. So I was listening to some of his music. That's fun stuff to be blaring as you're walking through the neighborhood. Cacophonic, I guess, atonal, arrhythmic jazz music.
There's just, I don't know what it is, but like somehow the idea of German and jazz don't like go together. When I think of Germans, I think of like, yeah, not a lot of freestyling, you know?
Yeah, free jazz at least. I mean, no. You're talking like someone who never saw Swing Kids. they're available at a low price at tweakedaudio.com, but if you use the offer code Pretension at checkout, you get 1/3 off that low price and no shipping charges. So please go to tweakedaudio.com and use the offer code Pretension.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
We're back, and you had asked me before we did the tweaked ad, and before the listeners heard an ad for, I don't know, protein powder. I have no idea what our ads are for. Why I get so excited every 50 weeks. Well, listeners know that every time there's an episode that ends in zero, generally speaking, see note at bottom. We profile the career of a film-related artist who has recently passed away, but there's an exception to that rule. So, like I said, see note at bottom. If that episode number is evenly divisible by 50, then we just throw caution to the wind and let the chips fall where they may. We have a fun episode with special guests or a special guest, and what could be more special than a Battleship Pretension, the one where I met your mother, crossover extravaganza. So joining us to celebrate episode 850 is the one where I met your mother co-host and my favorite wife. It's Natalie Schaefer.
Hey.
Welcome.
Happy to be here. Excited to see Tyler.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're here in Tyler's quarters. I don't know. What do you call this?
I call it a hospital room, but yeah.
It's not
they don't like
a hospital.
They don't like to use that term.
HQ. Yeah. We'll call it HQ.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm honored to be on the main feed.
Yeah,
nerve wracking because I'm a fan.
And it also means that you get to see firsthand all that stupid bullshit that David does at the top.
Oh yes, yes.
What, the tweaked ad that like?
No, that's fine. It's when you start talking about math. And by the way, when you say like C note at the bottom, do you mean like? Like $100
bill. Yeah, $100
bill
at the bottom for the just one.
Yeah,
first
exactly.
First come, first
serve. Yeah, we're literally just paying people to listen to the show now.
Well, that, honestly, I mean, there are fewer listeners since you have been on the show less, and we'd really appreciate those who have stuck around.
That kind of bums me out.
No, I think it should make you happy.
I guess.
Else could be that it's not specifically about you, but more about me, that they just like me less.
Oh, like I kind of mitigate the
Normally you're the buffer
effects of you.
Yeah, yeah. And now it's just me and and Scott, who's like me but worse.
Right? Boy, that's for sure.
I was going to ask you something. I forgot what it was. It was really, really important. But we don't do anything special or like or topic based for this episode. We just have fun and talk. Nelly, it's been what, 2 years since you've been on the podcast?
Yeah.
What have you been doing with yourself for the past 2 years?
Nothing really. No, I mean, I'm not a comic or a film person necessarily, so strange choice as a guest on this pod, but...
But again, it's...
I'll take one
in the BP
for the team.
Fleet. It's the crossover.
Right.
Of the,
right.
The two... shows that I'm on.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess technically we could say it's also a More Than One Lesson crossover.
Yeah, that's true.
But I guess every episode that I'm on could be considered that.
Yeah.
In the episode that I was on back in 2021.
Yeah.
It was, I picked a bunch of movies that I watched multiple times as a child that were kind of blind spots for you.
Yeah.
And... You watched many of them and...
Fell in love with many of them?
Yeah.
Talked Not all of them. Them?
Yeah.
Can you give us, by which I mean me, a refresher on what those movies were?
Sure. I could start with the ones that you loved.
Okay. Which,
so you loved The Craft.
Yeah, loved The Craft.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all.
I think you loved Big Business.
Yeah, but I thought we had watched that before.
Oh, maybe.
But yeah, Big Business, good movie.
Okay, yeah. Now I'm like drawing a blank.
Okay, so the number one thing...
Mermaids.
Mermaids is the number one thing that I watched during that time that I really love.
You hated Jawbreaker.
Jawbreaker is the one that I hated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really do you think liked... Jawbreaker is one of my least favorite movies I've ever seen.
What's... I can picture Jawbreaker, but I don't really know what it's about.
Oh, it's like a... Teen girl like dark comedy,
yeah,
right?
It's like kind of like Heather's, like a new Nouveau. I mean,
but
Nouveau,
it's trying but it's way too hard to be that.
20 years ago, at this more than 20 years ago.
Yeah, but Nouveau, like at the time, it was like
yeah.
But it's basically a bunch of popular girls are like playing a prank on one of their friends, and they accidentally kill her.
Got it.
And then they have to like cover up the crime.
Yeah, Rose McGowan is in it.
Oh, okay.
Rebecca Gayhart.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is pre Rebecca Gayhart. Vehicular manslaughter,
yes.
Which is now the thing that I think she's most known for.
Judy Greer.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right. She's like the nerd. She's not one of the main kids. She's like the nerdy girl.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about her.
And then weirdly enough, Pam Greer.
That's right. She's the detective.
She's the detective.
Yeah.
Greer spelled different.
Two spellings.
It's interesting. You mentioned Jawbreaker and that type of movie because I somewhat recently watched for the first time Drop Dead Gorgeous.
That
was one of my that was on there. You didn't like it.
No, but I'd seen that a long time ago.
Okay, so what did you think about Drop Dead Gorgeous?
I mean, I think it has its moments and some of the performances are really good. I think Kirsten Dunst is great.
Yes.
But that's not new. I really like, this comment is fairly evergreen, which is, I don't think it needed to be mockumentary.
That's fair.
And then at times, just as I was watching it, like I just thought like, this is trying so hard to be Heather's that like, it just distracted me because I think it just didn't really, I just don't think it did a really good job with that. Plus, some of the humor, like, I'm actually a big fan of Will Sasso, but what they do with his character, just making him, like, you know, mentally disabled or whatever, and just using that as the joke, like, and they pair him with Mike McShane, who I also like.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of it was...
Mike McShane?
Oh, he was on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
His father, right?
Or
his
brother, I think.
Okay.
He played Friar Tuck in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so I think maybe that was my problem with it, was that they had a lot of really good people in there. And I actually do think that Kirstie Alley does a good job.
Me too.
But I feel like it just doesn't utilize its resources really well.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there.
Yeah.
I could talk about the stuff about the movie I don't like, which is, the Will Sasso character and the kind of like... Oh, why am I drawing a blank on the mom who's like in the wheelchair? It's like burned and like has the...
Oh,
the like 40 is like welded to her hand or whatever.
Ellen Barkin.
Barkin.
Yeah.
So I did like I thought that stuff. We could talk about the stuff I don't like. But
Allison Janney was funny.
But we got to talk about my favorite joke in the movie, which is Kirsten Dunst saying, "This could be my ticket out of town. Boys get to move away all the time because of hockey scholarships or prison."
Yeah.
It's my favorite joke in the movie.
I just love just like the Midwestern accent. It's very funny to me. Like, join us in the basement for coffee and bars.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, when you watch it, you can just see, like, all right, we've got the mockumentary style of Waiting for Guffman. Mm-hmm. We've got the dark element of high school, like Heather's.
Yeah.
And then we've got this accent, like Fargo. Like, you can see all these things coming together.
All the influences.
Yeah.
Jinx.
But, there are certain movies, though, that I saw probably around the time I first saw Drop Dead Gorgeous that I didn't like that I should probably revisit because I was, like, had some latent sexism or was just a dumb boy. Like, I didn't like Bring It On the first time, and now I know a lot of people love Bring It On.
Yeah.
I didn't like Legally Blonde the first time, and people love Legally Blonde. I never saw the second one. Like, these are movies I think I would like to revisit now that I've, like, sort of... lost some of my self-consciousness about what movies are like cool or worthwhile and there's a tendency in our culture to devalue things that are aimed at girls.
Yes.
I still think Drop Dead Gorgeous mostly sucks. I don't want to say that.
Yeah.
But I do think that I would like Bring It On more now. I do think I would like Legally Blonde more now.
Do we all agree on our love of Clueless?
Well, that's what I was going to say is that like, I was a teenage boy and there's this feeling of like, oh, I'm not going to watch that shit. That's for girls.
That's not for me.
And I actually saw Clueless for the first time, maybe a couple of years ago. And I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I liked everybody in it. I thought it was incredible. a really solid movie.
And it's truly like a time capsule. Like it's so...
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Perfect. I love it. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah,
the soundtrack is incredible.
It really is, yeah.
The script, like, it's just, it's perfect.
Yeah, do you remember, Tyler, you and I were on the Rock Solid podcast to list some of our favorite soundtrack albums. Like, not scores, but soundtrack albums.
Yeah.
And Clueless was on my list. I specifically highlighted the Smoking Pope song.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know, what's it called? I Need You Around.
I need you around.
Yeah. What a great song. All right, I forgot. Oh, yeah, but Tyler and I have talked about how, or I've talked to Tyler about how often you and I, like, speak in our favorite movie quotes to
mm-hmm.
one another.
Mm-hmm.
Clueless has got to be up there with, mm-hmm. like, why would I go with Ty?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I go with Ty? Or I totally paused.
Yeah.
Something I say.
Yeah.
What else?
You're a virgin.
You can't drive.
I say that to you every day. I think we quote Best in Show a lot.
That's probably the number
one. We have a dog and we interact with dogs often. Yeah. So.
You obviously don't know my dog. Don't look at him. Look at me. These are things we say all the time.
Get your buzzy bee.
Yeah.
Also, Wayne's World is high up there with our movie quotes.
Yeah,
I think.
Oh wait, I forgot. My favorite quote that I use from Best in Show is, "Who are you all of a sudden?"
Are you proud, Mary?
Yeah, I don't know if you're.
Oh boy.
Are you proud, Mary?
We go deep.
Who are you all of a sudden?
These aren't even like the good ones.
Yeah, Jen and I, we don't talk. We don't like speaking. A lot of movie quotes, except oddly enough, The American Scream, that documentary about home hunters.
Yeah.
And just like so many of those guys are like hilarious, whether they mean to be or not. So we will say like, excuse me, get off, get in, back seat, especially now that we have kids.
Yeah.
But then We also just talk to each other and just like random quotes, like Jen and I were like, Jen more than me, but like she was like a big Dave Ramsey guy, girl, and so she and I would listen to him every once in a while, and there was this one moment where he was doing he was going to do an ad, and it starts off with the just the phrase, I'm busy. So it's all about like, you know, organization or whatever.
Yeah.
But the way he says it, he goes, I'm busy. And so like we just say that
comes up
to
a lot,
each other,
I'm sure,
all the time. Yeah. I'm busy. Yeah, it was delightful.
That reminds me, Tyler, do you remember when you and I first lived together in Chicago? There was a late night commercial for like a women's clinic, a family clinic or whatever.
Okay.
And the woman who was doing the voiceover, clearly on the page, the voiceover was supposed to be pregnant? Think you're pregnant?
Oh, yeah.
But she read it as pregnant? Think you're pregnant?
Yeah.
Like, it was like a contest.
Like vaguely. Like,
you think you're pregnant?
Yeah.
Get a load of this.
Yeah, it was like vaguely threatening.
Yeah. And,
oh, absolutely. That was great.
I remember. What's the. When we first moved to Chicago and we watched a lot of TV because we only knew each other.
Yeah.
and our building weirdly had like cable for free, but some channels. Anyway, I didn't know that Menards was like a national chain because we didn't have them in St. Louis. So I was like, oh, what's this like Chicago local thing? Save big money at Menards. Is that not out here?
No.
Oh, okay.
What is it?
Like carpeting?
Store?
Save big money at Menards.
Or no, is that furniture? Empire Carpet we
have
out here.
We have Empire Carpet.
Yeah, yeah.
And also we didn't have that in St. Louis either.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had a... I was like... St. Louis is such a specific pocket, and I learned so much about things that I assumed...
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea... I'd never heard of Panera Bread, because it's called St. Louis Bread Company there.
That's right, yes.
And we don't know that it's... Not that it's called Panera. We didn't know. So, like...
No one knew.
So, like, the first time, it's like, someone came into the video store I was working at with a bag that was very clearly, like, that design.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, there's a St. Louis Bread Company in here? And he and my coworker are like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
This is Panera Bread. And I was like, what?
So
I've been
watching a lot of, like, documentary limited series about cults.
Ooh.
And one of the big things is... a complete lack of awareness of the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
So I think St. Louis might be a cult.
Yeah, I think it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah. The colors are red and white.
Yeah.
It's the Cardinals. That's what it is. It's not St. Louis, it's the cult so much as the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything you'd recommend?
As far as these miniseries?
As far as these...
Yeah. Oh, my.
Or any cults you'd recommend? We're...
I'm looking at, Wild Wild Country I liked.
Well, what's funny is I haven't seen that.
Okay.
But I have seen the documentary now parody of it.
Okay.
Which is called Batshit Valley. And it's great. I like that. No, I've been... it's weird to say that I would recommend, given how guilty I feel for watching them.
Right.
But yeah, there's one called Shiny Happy People, which is on Amazon, and it's about the fundamentalist Christian, I will say cult, that the Duggars belong to.
Yes.
And then there's one on Max. I think it's just called Hillsong.
Right.
And right. You know what's interesting? Like, you know, I was raised in the church. But I've come to realize that for many, many years, I have not been plugged into, like, Christian culture. Don't get me wrong, I'm not lamenting that. But as a result, like, if you had said to me for so long, if you'd said, like, hey, what's Hillsong? I'd say, like, something music, right? Like, that's all I would have. I had no idea it was this, like, this empire of churches
mm-hmm.
where, like, some of them were, like, as big as a stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And so that in itself, like, bothers me. But then obviously there was, like, there was money stuff and there was, you know, sex scandals and all that.
Are they still around, Hillsong?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, Justin Bieber is still...
Right. Oh, right.
Oh, I thought he distanced himself.
Oh, maybe he did. I don't keep up. But yeah. that's how I came to know Hillsong.
You and I have not yet watched the other two season three, but the other two season two parodied Hillsong, right? Yeah. They were like... What Chase Dreams got like baptized in a pool in the roof of like the Soho Club, and it was like, do you Chase Dream fucks with Jesus?
But
what were you gonna say?
Oh, I was gonna say, Tyler, have you watched Righteous Gemstones?
I haven't. I don't know. I know this is probably shitty of me, but like, I'm always reluctant to watch stuff unless I get. Unless it's a documentary limited series, I guess. But I'm always reluctant to watch stuff that, like, that picks, like, the worst elements of Christianity, of American Christian culture, and just be like, hey, aren't these people ridiculous?
Yeah.
And I guess even, not even, like, the Christian culture thing. I have a problem with, like, movies or TV shows that, like, judge their characters, and I got that impression from that show.
Yeah, maybe it's not for you.
Yeah, do you like it?
I didn't watch. I only watched the first season, so maybe maybe I didn't like it enough. It's very, very funny.
I mean, I like everybody involved in it. I'm sure I'd probably find it pretty funny.
It is very funny, but yeah, I guess I didn't love it enough to stick with it. But I'll probably go back to it.
Yeah.
Tyler, did you watch Keep Sweet, Pray and Obey?
I am two episodes in.
Okay.
So we watched watching that one. It with a friend, and she'll be back in 2 weeks, and we'll finish it then.
Okay.
So I haven't finished it.
Yeah. That's the thing, because I've watched very few of these, but I feel like the cult miniseries, cult docuseries, whatever, feels like on its face, it's like, ooh, this will be juicy and interesting, and then you get into it and you realize, like, oh, right, these are all real people, and this, like, sucks.
Such
like,
a
this
bummer.
Is awful. And, like, yeah, I found Keep Sweet, Pray, and Obey. We watched all four episodes, but I found it to be very upsetting.
Yeah, like, as I was watching it, you know, it's all about, like, how oppressed, like, the women in the cult are. And then they're like, oh, and also, they send these little boys, like, all around the country to, like, work on these construction projects. And I was like, oh, good. It's nice to know everybody's exploited by this thing.
Yes.
Oh, also, and also because they need there to be more women than men, they also they just, like, kick kids out, all the, like, boys out all the time who have no, like you were saying, no idea about the outside world, no place to live. They say, now you're homeless in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, as young as 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's, man, it is one of those things where, like, these documentaries are made so, like, quickly and easily. And I don't mean to suggest that the filmmakers are, like, callous to the subject, but there is a definite formula to these kind of things.
Yes.
And, like you said, you go in being like, oh, this is going to be really, like you said, juicy. And and then you realize, like, oh, no, this is monstrous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I stupidly watched the Jared from Subway limited series and immediately was like, the story of him getting caught is interesting, but it's like, yeah, I could have read that on Wikipedia and not subjected myself to some of these audio recordings.
Yeah.
It was pretty rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a, like, back to Keep Sweet, there was, like, a story about a woman who was 23, and she was a mom of five. And I just said, say no more. Like, I can't, this is already a terrible, like, I don't need to know anything worse than that. Like, anything beyond that. This is already so sad. So every time we watch an episode, we had to watch, like, a palate cleanser. What were we watching at that, like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine or something?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I think. Yeah, we'd watch a Brooklyn Nine-Nine between.
Because I couldn't, like, watch an episode and then go to sleep after that, you know?
Yeah, we did something, yeah.
Yeah, I, you know, one of the, like, these limited series things are, you know, they eat up an afternoon. And so it's like, all right, I'll throw that on. And so I did recently watch, I mean, I think it just showed up like 2 days ago. And it's Muscles and Mayhem, the story of the American gladiators.
Okay.
And it's on Netflix. And what was interesting is
don't
that
tell me there's a dark underbelly to the American Gladiator.
Certainly not.
I'll say this, like, literally every single beat of the series is like, yeah, I'm not surprised. It's like, oh, steroid use, you don't say. Yeah. But it was co-directed by Jared Hess.
Oh.
And
Napoleon
I remember...
Dynamite guy.
What was that?
The Napoleon Dynamite guy. Exactly. Nacho Libre.
Oh, yeah.
I forget what he went. What happened after that.
And I didn't know that until the end of the first episode. And once I saw that credit, like, a lot of stuff fell into place. I've never been a big fan of Jared Hess, partially because of what I had just said. I feel like he kind of stands in judgment of his characters.
Yeah.
And I think he does, like, he lets the gladiators, like, speak for themselves and all that. But I think he finds the whole endeavor, like, so inherently ridiculous that, like, he just can't help but adopt a mocking tone.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Alex Gibney tends to do. But yeah, but it's worth watching. It's interesting, but it's not going to tell you anything you don't already suspect.
Assume, yeah.
What is Alex? I don't feel that way. I'm not saying I love Alex Gibney, but I don't feel like he mocks.
No, maybe not. Well,
I feel like Alex Gibney does this kind of like disingenuous thing where he always starts his documentaries being like, "We're going to find out about this really interesting guy."
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh no, it turns out he's a piece of shit. And it's like, it keeps happening. It's like, at a certain point, Alex Gibney, you got to do your research beforehand.
Maybe it's not so much that he's mocking the subject as he is being kind of glib about it. Mm. Like, if you watch, like, Going Clear or The Inventor or any number of other films, like, I remember you and I, when we were doing the show regularly, anytime one or the other of us saw an Alex Gibney documentary, you know, the other person would say, "How was it?" And we'd be like, "It's an Alex Gibney, Gibney documentary." Like, you know what you're getting.
And there was a time there I feel like he was putting out like 2 or 3 a year.
I know, it was crazy.
I haven't seen one in a while.
But
where's the, where, not to be that mom from the Onion article, but where's the 4 to 6 part miniseries where just everything goes well?
Yeah.
Everything's, right? That's what I want. Now, this reminds me of something your mom said.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay, tell the story.
So we used to go camping, like rafting and camping at Kern River in the Kern. I know you're familiar with Kern County.
Kern County,
right?
I am, yes.
So I guess there's a lot of like undercurrent and a lot of injuries and even deaths with like the severe undercurrent. So my mom was trying to make a point about like, well, why should they tell us how many people drowned that year? Why don't they tell us how many people had a good time at the river?
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's like a sign that says, "Be careful, X number of people drown every year."
It's
why
just
is there a
warning.
Sign that says how many people had a good time?
Yeah.
That is maybe the most mom thing I've ever heard.
It's a very mom thing to say, and it's a very like, my mom thing to say.
Anything that you can very easily hear in Marge Simpson's voice, I feel like, That's a pretty good sign. It's like the essence of a mom quote.
Right.
You know, now I'm bringing it back to sad stuff. But there's actually, Merle Haggard actually has a song about the Kern River and how his wife or lover drowned there and he'll never swim in the Kern River again. I don't know if it's true or not.
You should remind my mom about it.
What's that?
You should remind my mom about it.
Well, no, I wouldn't want to, I mean, I don't want to set her off.
Yeah.
Why can't they write songs about how many people had a good time on it, you know?
Yeah, we'd all love that.
I feel like the Beach Boys could do that.
Which, I'm seeing the Beach Boys on Tuesday.
Oh.
Or I'm seeing Mike Love.
Sunday, right?
Sunday, yeah. Mike Love and whoever else decides to show up, I guess.
Yeah, there's not going to be any Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
It's Mike Love and his Beach Boys.
Yeah.
And John Stamos.
Of
course.
Yeah. I'm there for the fireworks, though.
Oh, of course, yes.
That Central California is something you two have in common. You both lived in Ventura County at one point in your childhoods.
Yeah.
Yeah, I lived in Taft, California until right
before... That's in Kern County, right?
In Kern County, right before my 7th birthday. And then we my dad got transferred to Ventura, and we were only there for about 3 years, but I've gone back to visit pretty frequently. And, yeah, like, it's very rare, I feel like, to, like, pick up on a vibe, like, the moment you get into a place.
Oh, yeah.
And as an adult, anytime I've gone to Ventura, I'm like, wow, this place is just, like, really chill. You can just tell immediately.
Yeah,
it's
I like
very strange.
There was one of the very few, if on, not only, restaurants that have been on Kitchen Nightmares that I've been to. There's a, I don't know if it's still there, but there was a Greek restaurant, like, right on the water in Ventura, right by the pier. I don't know, now that you and I watched all of Kitchen Nightmares together, I don't know if you remember the episode where it's like a Greek family that are in this restaurant, and the son, like, doesn't want to be a part of it, but part of the restaurant is that they, like, much like the Great Greek in Studio City, they have, like, a singing and dancing show, and the son is, like, reluctantly singing and dancing, but he's like, I don't want to be part of this restaurant industry. Anyway, I've eaten there.
I don't remember that.
That was before I knew you.
Oh, okay.
You don't think I ever went to Ventura before I knew you?
Yeah, why would you? Taft is, I think of Taft, is it Taft hyphen Mariposa?
So there's Taft, which is its own city, and then there's Maricopa,
which that's
is
what
nearby,
I'm thinking.
And like, okay. When I was young, we knew a family that lived in Maricopa, and it seemed like depressingly small to me then.
Okay.
And now, like, so many businesses have closed. Yeah. Like, it's like, it's right on the edge of being a ghost town.
It's kind of like a dust bowl town.
Yeah.
I remember, because I used to live in San Francisco, and I'd have to drive back and forth, and I would always, like, stop for gas or pee in Taft.
Yeah.
So that's how I knew it.
Yeah, I mean, like, Taft has certainly seen better days, too.
Yeah.
Because it was a big, my dad worked for Texaco Oil, and Taft, you know, Kern County in general, is a big oil place. But, you know, the oil started drying up a little bit. Not completely, of course, but enough that, yeah, like, Texaco transferred him out and a lot of other people. And, Taft is one of the few cities whose population is shrinking. It's really a bummer when I go back there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun to go back. Essentially, the last few years, whenever I needed, like, a three-day, like, vacation just for myself, and the nature of the vacation was just, like, to be alone and be quiet for a while.
Yeah.
I would just go to Taft by myself and just kind of drive around and see all the places I grew up with. And, you know, unsurprisingly, when you get older, you realize, like, wow, this town has one stoplight. It's one of those. I never realized that when I was a kid. It seemed much bigger to me as opposed to, like, you could drive from one end of the town to the other in, like, 5 minutes. And then one time, I don't know why the hell I did this, but I think I was just curious. Because years ago, I used to drive for Lyft.
Yes.
And I still have my Lyft driver app, and it's all up to date and everything. And so I went to Taft, and I just, like, turned the app on and left it on. And in 3 days, I did not get a request for a ride.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, well, maybe this is an Uber town, or maybe not even that.
Everyone's just home.
Yeah.
I was reading the Taft Wikipedia page. There's some really fun stuff
about Taft.
Famous figures or
no? I haven't gotten to that.
I know what its original name was.
Well, it's originally going way back was Siding Number 2.
Sure.
And then it was or at least the train station there wanted to change the name to Morrow, M-O-R-O, but there was already Morrow Bay just down the coast, yeah. So they changed it to Moron.
Moron.
And there's a museum in town that still has pictures of businesses that say, like, the Moron Pharmacy and stuff like that.
Wow.
Have you been to that museum?
I've been to the Kern County Oil Museum, which is in Taft, but I don't think I've been to that one.
Oh, the West Kern Oil Museum. I see it right here.
Yeah.
And then the fire burned the town, most of the town down, and when they rebuilt it, they changed it to Taft in honor of William Howard Taft, who had just been elected president.
Yeah.
Right.
He was elected in 1908, started serving in 1909. Yeah, notable figures. I should look and see if I can.
There's a handful. I've looked it up before. It's a few.
Notable people.
There's some athletes, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bill Bagnall from the Motorcycle Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Oh, Jordan Belfort.
Really?
Leonardo DiCaprio's character from The Wolf of Wall Street.
Wow. That I didn't know. Wow.
I'm sorry. I should have read the whole thing. Not originally from Taft. Spent time at the Taft Correctional Institution.
Oh, that I believe.
That's very
yes.
different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when they built that prison a few years after we left, and it was like a big boon to the economy. But also, it's one of those things, like, when you drive into Taft, it has one of those signs that says, like, don't pick up hitchhikers
yes.
and stuff
That's
like
always,
that.
Oh, speaking of signs, it's the part I skipped over because it's, like, too sad, but Taft was at one point a quote-unquote sundown town. Meaning no black people were allowed to be in the town
after
dark.
I believe that.
So
was Pasadena. So, I mean...
Yeah, it's that part of the world, I guess.
Yeah.
Or that time. I don't know. Dianne Feinstein's dad...
Okay.
...was born in Taft. And Ryan Shuck, you might not know his name, but he played guitar for a little band called Orgy.
Wow.
Nice. Well, and then... So, a few movies... have filmed in Taft, most notable being The Best of Times,
okay.
Which
Kurt
is not
Russell
a very,
and Robin Williams.
Yeah, not a very good movie. But A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night was shot there. It's an Iranian film, mm-hmm. and the town in the film is called like Bad City or something like that. And apparently, there were no cities bad enough in Iran. to shoot at, so they're like, oh man, what's worse than this? Oh, Taft, California.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, it's like, Best of Times is all about how terrible it is to live there, but like, they still let them shoot there, because like, hey, we'll take the money, it's fine.
Yeah.
I think the patrons, by the way, if you want to support Tyler and get extra movie talk and video and stuff, including Natalie and I doing some taste tests.
Yeah, if you want to watch me throw popcorn in my mouth and eat ice cream.
There might be one coming up that I haven't told you about yet.
We'll see about that.
I just learned about. We'll see. Sign up for the Patreon, patreon.com/battleshipretention. It's $2, $5, or $10 a month, depending on what you want, and some of that goes to Tyler.
Right.
Of it goes back into the show. But so patrons already know, because Scott and I talked about it, but speaking of A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, Natalie and I had last fall in Anna Lily Amarpour sighting. We were at a for your consideration like award screening of an Iranian movie called Holy Spider, which neither one of us liked,
no.
right? But it was almost worth it for a great reception after, but before that, a Q&A section that I love when they go wrong, you know?
I'm already uncomfortable.
So this guy stood up, and he didn't say I have more of a comment than a question, but he had more of a comment than a question.
Yeah.
Because it's the Holy Spider is based on a true story of a man who murdered a bunch of sex workers in Tehran, and then was like a significant portion of the population was like on his side because he said he was doing it for like moral,
mm-hmm.
like religious reasons.
Yeah, boy.
Anyway, so this guy stood up. And now, you have to remember this screening. Now, what you have to remember is, this was the 60s. Sorry, that's what happens in every documentary. The attack on Paul Pelosi had, like, just happened.
Mm.
So this guy stood up and he was like, you know, this guy's story reminds me of something a little more recent, a little more close to home, and, like, tries to make this belabored connection between this guy who murdered women for religious reasons and this nut bar who broke into Nancy Pelosi's home and beat up her husband.
Yeah.
And so another woman spoke up and was, like, refuting that, saying, you know, that's not what this is about. It's about something, blah, blah, blah. And it started to get kind of heated, and then the moderator who... I won't say her name, but it's someone we know. Like, calmed it down and moved it on. So at the reception later, I was like, hey, great job dealing with that and moving on. And she was like, you know, that woman who was shouting was on a Liliana before, right?
And she had also brought her dog.
That's what I'm saying. And then we looked around, and it was like, sure enough, there's Anna Lily Amrapour with a little dog.
With a tiny dog. Like,
that's just like a L.A. power move. Like, you're not supposed to bring a dog to this thing. But she's going to bring her little dog.
If you can, you do.
And it was a cute dog, anyway.
It was a cute dog. I always hate those Q&As for that reason.
No, we only stayed because we knew there was going to be a reception after.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go on.
No, that's the only reason, too.
I've been a part of... a few Q&As, like one at WonderCon and one and a few at various like Christian festivals and stuff, and it's terrible.
Yeah,
it's terrible on all sides.
Yeah,
it's terrible watching it, it's terrible being up there, because you never know when someone is gonna have more of a comment than a question. Mm-hmm. and then of course there's the subset of the self-promoting comment. Mm-hmm. And like, I remember I was on a panel at the International Christian Film Festival, and the panel was going really well. Then it came time for the Q&A, and like, I was literally thinking, like, is it possible for me to like lie and leave and say, hey guys, this has been great, but I gotta go.
You know,
but it's like that.
I was gonna ask, did you like almost out of like muscle memory when they said, let's take some questions from the audience, just walk out? Because that's what I do at Comic-Con. I watch the panel, and then it's like, all right, let's open up to questions from the audience. I'm like, I'm done.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, and so this guy stood up, and he's a guy who'd been, around the festival a few years. And he was just like, he started addressing some of the stuff that we had talked about, and then very quickly veered into his own career frustrations and stuff like that, and just was like talking for a solid 2 or 3 minutes before the moderator was like, and it's tough because, you know, it's a Christian film festival, so everyone wants to be really nice and stuff and patient, but the moderator eventually was like, sir, is there a question coming up? And
you gotta have a good moderator.
Yeah. And the guy, and what's more is for a while, I was gonna be the moderator of that panel And I was like, thank God they just put me as a panelist, because I probably would not have been able to hide my contempt for this guy person did.
I want to go back to that Holy Spider Q&A because I'm going to throw the director of Holy Spider under the bus because I didn't like him and I didn't like his movie. But this was also around the time of the protest, the Iranian women protesting. Mm-hmm. And so the people, it was our friend moderating, and then the director and the star, a woman, not the star who played the killer, the fictional character they made up, who's a journalist who is, anyway, that's not important. What's important is that you've got an Iranian woman on the panel, and she starts talking about these protests, and the director interrupts her to say, like, what these Iranian women are doing, it's just really impressive. That's like all he had to say.
Yeah.
Which led, speaking of speaking in like movie and TV quotes, Natalie, do you remember what you said about that?
I've got something to say.
No, I've got nothing to say. Oh.
That's another one I quote often.
Yeah.
Is anything strangers with candy?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We love the scene where she's taking the
lie detector
test. And just, so I'll be, okay. What's your favorite animal?
Kitten.
And...
snake.
Yeah.
And what's your favorite food?
Crepe Suzette.
And
meatballs.
Oh, also a different episode, but Jerry, where do you buy your shoes?
Wait, the comfort zone.
Yeah. All the popular girls have new tennis shoes that their like defining characteristic is that the laces are super long.
Yeah, they're called flares.
Flares.
You're a fan too, Tyler, if
I
recall.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I watched either the show or the movie.
Yeah,
I've actually
same
still
here.
Never seen the movie.
Oh, it's good.
Okay. Yeah.
I think you'd like it.
I think so too. I could do a rewatch.
Yeah.
If you're down.
Yeah.
I think the movie is one, like, it has one of my favorite moments where, like, Jerry and her family are just, like, hanging out. And then, like, the doorbell rings. Mm-hmm. And they all just, like, look at each other, like, with suspicion and anger at the idea of, like, somebody visiting that they weren't expecting. And it just, like, they just, like, look at each other and are, like, vaguely scared or horrified just for, like, a solid, like, 30 seconds to a minute before they decide to answer it. And they never explain why they're reacting that way.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's like the kind of thing that I love so much.
Yeah.
So Tyler, you and I took a class in film school taught by Paul Dinello's brother, Dan Dinello.
Dan Dinello, that's
right.
Who
also directed a couple episodes of Strangers with Candy.
Yeah. And you know what? Like he was a nice guy, but that class really frustrated me because we also took a Michael Powell and David Lean class.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was Falzone,
it was
right?
Ron Falzone,
yeah.
Our favorite teacher.
And like the
favorite
first thing.
I'm sorry. Prof. Your students call you prof?
No.
Okay.
I tell them to call me Tyler.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sometimes they'll call me professor, sometimes Mr. Smith, and it's like, all right, fine.
Touchdown? Do they ever call you Touchdown?
I insist they call me that, but they never do. They don't
they
feel comfortable.
We've talked about Touchdown, right?
Touchdown Smitty? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So me and Cole are... Cole Pasek, the composer of Battleship Retention's chilling theme music, when we've been together. Once we realized Tyler's first two initials were TD, we started calling him Touchdown Smitty.
Yeah.
And then one time you went home for a whole summer... And we made, out of paper towel roll, we made a banner that we hung outside the window for, like, when you came back to welcome you home.
Yeah.
And it said, "Welcome back, Touchdown." And Cole had a picture of a guy with his hands up, and the bubble was, "Pass me the pigskin, please."
Yeah. Yes, I remember. I wish I had kept that.
Yeah.
I have now forgotten what we were talking about.
Why the sci-fi visions of a post-human future class frustrated you.
So when we took that David Lean class... The first thing that Falzone said was, okay, we're not going to watch Bridge on the River Kwai, Lawrence of Arabia, or Dr. Zhivago. I'm assuming that you guys have already seen them, because why else would you take a David Lean class?
Right.
Meanwhile, in that science fiction class, like 10 out of the 13 movies we watched were like Blade Runner, Alien, 2001. Like it was all like the most obvious sci-fi movies. Mm-hmm. And it's like if you're
like third year film students, we've seen
exactly
yeah.
You know, which is why, like, you know, when we saw Demon Seed, I was like, well, at least this is something I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And actually I liked it quite
a
bit.
Yeah, great movie.
But that frustrated me a lot, just the idea of like, and then that was like one of the only classes that enforce the attendance policy. And I thought, like, yeah, that makes sense, because why else would someone show up unless they're required to to watch Alien for like the seventh time?
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with these movies, but
no,
you know, you go to film school, like, learn new stuff.
Right.
So
well, at least you watched
that class bothered
day.
Me. Yeah, exactly. We watched The Sixth Day.
Forgotten Arnold Schwarzenegger, what, 2002? 2001?
Is it two? That sounds right to me.
Yeah. Sort of like cut rate, discount Philip Dick type of thing? Or is it a Philip Dick thing?
I don't actually know.
You dropped a K?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're right. We're tight.
Yeah.
Old Phil Dick and me.
Yeah, old Philly boy.
No, it has nothing to do with Phil K. Dick. But okay. It's 2000, actually.
2000.
No, I thought it was later. And Roger Spottiswood directed it.
And, like, the one thing that I could cling to in that, unsurprisingly, was, like, hey, here's Robert Duvall. Like, give the film some heart. Mm-hmm. Like, any amount of heart. But it's actually it's fun that we're talking about this because a couple nights ago, I did a rewatch of a movie I haven't seen in about 30 years, and that's Last Action Hero.
Oh, yeah?
Have you seen that? It's great.
No, I have not.
I liked it at the time, but now that I'm watching it, it's like, this is great. Like, it's, at times, it's maybe a little too broad and, like, it's sort of meta elements, but it's actually really good. I liked it a lot. I think it does some really good stuff as far as, like, doing, like, parody action stuff. And it's directed by John McTiernan.
Yeah.
And so, like, McTiernan doing, like, a parody of the genre that he helped to, like, craft, I think it works really well. And it's a film that I don't hear a lot of people talking about, but it's definitely worth watching. And I think... I think Arnold's actually doing really good work in it.
Hmm. What was the last Arnold Schwarzenegger movie any of us saw?
I think True Lies.
That's the last one?
Yeah. What, 93?
Yeah. Something like that, 95.
I watched Maggie, which I guess at this point was like, is like 7 or 8 years old, I think.
Okay.
And it was fine, and he did a fine job in it. It was kind of weird to see him like, actually try to like act, and I don't know, it's just so strange that like you know, your whole career is based around like your body, and within that we're willing to forgive a lot of weird line readings,
right?
So now we have this thing where we don't see your body at all and you're talking a lot, but within that he still did pretty well.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong.
The Escape Plan, 10 years ago, in 2013. That was the last one I saw.
Oh, boy.
I forgot. I saw Batman and Robin.
Okay, that's 97. Yeah. That's yours. Yeah.
There what? He did make a brief cameo in The Rundown, a movie you and I both really like.
which now that you never saw, right?
I'm pretty sure I saw it.
Okay. Well, can I tell this story?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm convinced.
That... Natalie is convinced, she saw the trailer and she was convinced there was a part where Dwayne The Rock Johnson says, give me the rundown. Which doesn't happen in the trailer. Maybe it's in the movie. I don't remember it being in the movie. I saw it a couple
Not
times.
Not that I recall,
but
no.
We'd watched the trailer. He definitely doesn't say, give me the rundown in the trailer.
I'm convinced. Who's going to prove me wrong
this
and watch
like
the whole thing?
This is like a Mandela effect.
Yeah.
I hate that there are like, Mandela effect, like conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's just people misremember stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
But some of them are really interesting. Like the one that I learned the other day is that Ed McMahon and the Publishers Clearing House never had anything to do with one another.
Wait, that can't be.
No, it's true. Ed McMahon was involved with a similar organization called American Family Publishers, who also gave out prizes and stuff.
Oh.
But people are convinced that they saw Ed McMahon go up to people's doors with giant checks and that were Publishers Clearing House and stuff. Never happened.
Yeah, if you would ask me, like, hey, who's the face of Publishers Clearing House, I would have said Ed McMahon.
Yeah, but no.
My favorite one of those is everyone assumes that Tom Cruise is wearing sunglasses in Risky Business when he skids across the floor.
Right.
But he's not. Oh.
Yeah.
However, he is wearing sunglasses on the cover.
The cover of the VHS, right?
Yeah.
So I could understand how that would be.
Tyler, I know you've been watching a lot of TV, especially like short form comedy.
Yeah.
Have you watched How To with John Wilson?
No, not yet. I actually just added that to my watch list. Yeah. I've heard great things about it.
It's amazing. There's a whole episode on Mandela Effect conspiracy theorists that's pretty strange. But
that's cool.
They're doing one more, and then I guess that's it. I think the third season is going to be the last one. That seems to be the
There's a lot
trend.
Of that going around.
A lot of that going around these days, yeah.
Yeah.
Natalie, you heard about the other two that it's over after the third season?
Oh, no, I didn't. That's a bummer.
Well, especially when you find out why. It's not about ratings. Apparently, the showrunners are verbally abusive monsters who had way too many HR complaints, and Warner's had to, like, do an internal investigation into their behavior and stuff.
I hate to hear that.
And it kind of makes you wonder, like, I mean, look, I get it. The showrunner is, like, the person that runs the show. That's the whole deal. But, like, you know, if you've got the writers and the actors, like, couldn't you conceivably keep it going?
Yeah, and they're all doing such a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, when Dan Harmon left Community for one season, that season, it's just like, it just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe if they did that, the other two wouldn't quite feel right.
There's, I mean, this is obviously the stuff about Joss Whedon came out a while ago. More recently, the stuff about Lost. I don't know if either of you have seen. There's a whole book coming out about how bad working in the writer's room for Lost was.
Really?
But there was an excerpt from that book in, I can't remember what, Vanity Fair, maybe, I think. It's a real bummer to read, and some of it is, like, very shocking how, like, commonplace, like, racist jokes and sexist jokes and stuff were in the writer's room.
Yeah.
But what's really interesting in the article is to read how the difference between how Damon Lindelof has responded to these, which is to, like, grant interviews, deny nothing, apologize for everything, and how Carlton Cuse has responded, which is through a PR spokesperson, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I want to, like, give Damon Lindelof credit. He clearly held some responsibility for the way things went at the time, but at least he recognizes that now.
Yeah, that's too bad. Like, especially when I think of a show like Lost, which I think is so complex and so intelligent.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to believe that, like, in the writer's room, they're just, like, smoking cigars and, like, spanking, like, the coffee girl's ass or whatever. Like, it just, I can't reconcile the two.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all these. I mean, I feel like it's something about these shows where, like, The Other Two is not a very popular show, but the people who love it are, like, tastemakers and people in the know.
Yeah.
So I wonder, it goes to these people's heads, I think. Like, Lost, Joss Whedon, like, these people are talked about as being geniuses, and they run with it. I guess it'd be more funny if, like, it turned out that the showrunner of, like, Judging Amy or something was, like, a tyrant.
Yeah, that's funny. I think about that sometimes because, what was it? Oh, I was talking with a friend of mine about Scientology and Tom Cruise, and, like, you know, movie stars are already, they're already told yes all the time, but like, within the world of Scientology, it's like, man, Tom Cruise must just be, like, they just must be, like, fueling his ego just so much. That, like, he loses all perspective. But I do find myself wondering, like, all right, how many people would have to call me a genius for me to even begin to believe it? Because, like, if I created something and I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, you're a genius, I feel like my first thought would be like, oh no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't seen me try to get out of jury duty. Like, if you saw that, the genius is the last word you would use. You'd probably use incompetent first because of me having to, like, go to the website and figure that out. And then you'd probably call me a scumbag when you heard some of the shit I said to get out of jury duty. Like when I said, I don't like cops.
Yeah.
But that's true.
That's true. Yeah, that's what I say,
too. That was true,
That's one thing we all have in common.
Yeah.
Or at least we don't trust cops.
Well, this was, look, I don't mean to be, an asshole, but this was before hating cops was cool.
Yeah.
We're trendsetter.
We're joiners.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like on this, we all have come together in our dislike of uniformed police officers, law enforcement. I think that's a great place to wrap up, right? We've gone an hour.
Sure.
We're all in agreement.
Yeah.
ACAB, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tyler, I don't know if Tyler's plugged in enough to the leftist Twitter to know what ACAB means.
What is it?
All cops are bastards. It's short for all cops are bastards.
And you know what? It's one of those things that, like, now, because I'm such a contrarian, now that everybody hates cops, I'm like, well, hang on, guys. Watch out. No, they're not terrible.
All right. Well, that's great. You can... thank you so much for listening for 850 weeks in a row. Yay. I'm assuming all of you did.
Of course.
Of course, you can find this podcast at battleshippretension.com. You can email me at david@battleshippretension.com. Follow me on Twitter at davypretension. Same address on Blue Sky. Letterboxed David Backs. Please check out the one where I met your mother, where Natalie and I watch an episode of Friends and an episode of How I Met Your Mother every week. And have you want to hear about Natalie and David's in-jokes? We make all kinds of in-jokes.
Yeah, we currently have 5 listeners.
That's not true. Oh. We have many more than that. But we have...
You got like 5 times that.
Yeah, at least 5 times than that. We have many more. So check that out. Natalie, anything else you want to plug?
No.
Okay. Tyler, what do you want to plug?
Well, I do have a new review on Battleship Pretension of a film called Nefarious. I'll give a little bit of background. It is a Christian horror film, and this is something that happens every once in a while. Christian groups and fellow Christians will be like, hey, I know you hate Christian films, but this one's different. It's not different. It's never different. Stop saying that. It's a horror movie that makes no attempt at all to be frightening, because it's about like spiritual warfare and demons, and it would seem that the writer directors thought that that in itself is enough to make it scary, but yeah, it's not good at all. And what's fascinating to me is that, like, this is why I hate Christian culture, is that, like, my fellow Christians, like, they'll take whatever they like and imbue it with, like, spiritual vitality to such a degree that, like, if you look at some of the user comments on Rotten Tomatoes, it's just astonishing that they're like, oh, well, you know, of course these critics hate this movie. They're enemies of God. And it's like, enemies of good God. And it's just like, and I never, like, and one of the reasons that I decided to write the review was because I thought, like, this might get us some hate clicks. I don't know. And nobody's commented, but I've looked at some of the comments on, like, other critics' negative reviews, and I just think, like, wow, these Christians are decidedly un-Christian in the way they talk about these guys who simply don't think this movie is very good. And it's just like, and it's just so discouraging to me. Like, every time I think that, like, the Christian film world is making progress, whether it be in the films that are being made and Christian reaction to it, every time I think that, I'm reminded of, like, nope, we're still, like, might be maybe one step ahead of where we were, like, 10 years ago, but we're really not making much progress at all. But anyway, you can read my review of Nefarious, and then you can go down that rabbit hole and be as angry as me.
All right, well, thank you again for listening for 150, 850 weeks.
And we'll get you next time.
Bye.
Bye.